How did Dirty Dishes start? How did you guys get your history going?
So I met, actually it's kind of a funny story. I met Alex at a party and he threw up on my shoes.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't nice then, but he afterwards, I guess the next day we had mutual friends and he got my number and he was like, I'm so sorry. And he offered to buy me a new pair of shoes. but then we just got to talking and stuff and, he plays synth and was into the same bands that I was into. So we started jamming and then, after a while, we just kind of, formed it. We were like, all right, let's play shows and we can make a real band. And so we started doing that.
So how long have you guys been together then? Like from start to now, from when the puke hit the floor to now. So.
For a while. So I want to say we started playing shows maybe in 2009, so maybe four or five, a while. We started on the East Coast and we were playing that and we talked some stuff and yeah, I don't know, it's been a while, four or five years.
So you guys are based in LA now, right?
Yes.
And now what's the difference between the East Coast and LA? Because when you were on the East Coast, are you talking New York, Boston, or...
Yeah, all New England. We were based in Alston, which is part of Boston. It's kind of how Brooklyn is to New York. There's a lot of stuff going on there. We played in New York and Connecticut and Rhode Island. They're all it was kind of cool actually. In that area, because you can touring and just playing shows, you can kind of hit a bunch of different areas. Everything's pretty close together. And we're actually going to do that again in October. We're going to do a little tour and hit all those places. It's super different out here. Everything's different. So we're still kind of getting used to that, but it's really cool. It was we needed a change. And it was good for everything, and it's good for the band. We started, I don't know, feeling kind of we're making new music and kind of got a fresh start.
Yeah. Now on your Facebook page, you describe your music as caveman stomp. How did you come up with that?
That was kind of a joke. Actually, we did the magazine Vice, they have a music section called Noisy. Mm-hmm. And we did a thing with them a while ago in Boston where they followed us around for a day or two and it was cameras and filmed our chat and stuff. it was kind of weird. It was, but they were really nice. And we did yeah, and then they film the show and put up a thing about us and wrote a piece, and the guy that wrote the article, he described it as, that was one of the terms he said a bunch of stuff, but I think he was talking about maybe Alex, how he on stage helped kind of get all snarly and get really into it. That was a turn of phrase that we thought was hilarious, and we just put it up on our.
So they followed you around. So they followed you around for a day, just like a fly on the wall type situation or something. Or
yeah, it was actually kind of crazy. It felt like I was in the real world. I mean, they had it all mic'd up and stuff, and
wow,
it was kind of disturbing. Yeah, they were all really cool, but I'd never been in a situation where everything I did was recorded.
What did you
go to the bathroom and be oh my God, is this mic on? figure out how to turn this off.
Yeah, I'll give you guys something to hear, Well, let me ask you this. Did you guys just do your normal routine and stuff? And or did you guys plan stuff like fake knock over a liquor store or something and run out or something like that, or you know, just something
to that would have been tight. We probably should have done that. we just took them around. We just we showed them like a rehearsal spot and jammed in our rehearsal spot, and we showed them. We still play a bunch of DIY venues. There's a lot of that in New England. People throw shows in their basement or warehouse spaces, and a bunch of people come out. It's a really cool vibe and a really cool environment to play in. So we just we stop by a few places we play, and I don't know, we just showed them the city or where we were from the city. Mm-hmm. And they,
let's talk about your album here. How did you come up with some of these songs? Because like I said, I mean, they're pretty layered, you know, like we were talking before about, you know, they kind of have a Dinosaur Jr. sound to them. I mean, I don't want to compare you guys to that though, because you really do have your own sound, but it's got a, like, everything's got a nice texture to it. It almost has an airy feel, which is really nice. It's almost hard to describe, but how do you come up with, you know, such a textured sound like that?
First of all, thank you. That's something we try really hard to we care a lot about how our sound comes across, just sonically, not just songwriting, but all the different textures and stuff. So we love bands like Smashing Pumpkins is one of our favorite bands, and all those. They have so many different guitar layers, and we like My Bloody Valentine, and they have all that, those different layers working together and going on. So we're influenced by a lot of bands that do that kind of stuff. And then, Alex plays synth. That's our secret weapon. his synth part is not really, he doesn't play riffs. It just creates more atmosphere, and a lot of it's very subtle, and you don't even really notice it, but it creates so good.
Yeah, it's like he's setting a mood with it. It's almost an aura around the music. That's how I heard it anyway. You know.
Yeah, it's a sonic glue, mm-hmm. Sticks it all together.
Yeah, hopefully. and then you play the guitar. You're the guitar player, right?
Yeah.
You know what's cool? Because, serious, I grew up with, the post-punk early 80s stuff, and that's what I first fell in love with. And I hear, tell me if I'm wrong, though, but I hear a lot of Bob Mould in your influence.
Oh, I don't know. Some people have said that, but I'm not sure. I need to listen to more of that stuff.
No,
for sure. But,
I don't know. You do almost what Alex does with the guitar. I mean, you kind of have that droning mood swing in the guitar. I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, I know gorgeous isn't a word to describe a guitar sound, but I mean, you really do have a gorgeous tone. You know.
Oh, cool! Yeah, for sure. I try to use my instrument, as you know, I like playing cool guitar riffs or whatever. But I kind of using it as maybe not how it was intended to be used, or not just walk myself into playing. I try to get different, sounds, and I love the droney atmospheric stuff, and I try to get all of that out of my instrument, as well as using it traditionally.
Yeah, now, see, I'm a guitar player myself too, so I gotta ask the obligatory guitar questions, like what kind of gear are you using, like what's your guitar and what's your amp and your effects and all that other stuff, because you know we're all, you know, people like you and I being guitar players, we're automatically gearheads.
Oh yeah. So I play Fender Mustang, and I've kind of always played that, and I kind of generally, I mean, the reason I started playing around with that was mainly because of the size. Like, it just, like, fits me very well. But I kind of like the sound of, like, a fatter, like, and I like some, like, Gibson, like, stuff with, like, fat humbuckers in there.
Yeah, because the Mustang is awesome because you can get a Strat or a Les Paul sound out of it.
Yeah, and I swapped some of the pickups on it, so I have a mini humbucker. It's not as heavy as like a real one, but it kind of gets that tone. And then I like the neck pickup is like super. That's like more of a Fender sound. And then for other gear for pedals, I love. I was using like a Russian Big Muff.
I love those, man. I love those. I love Big Muffs, man.
Yeah, they have like the best sound. Like now, I have an American one for a while. I came across. They like make a Russian model, and it's like it's kind of cool. It's just like you can it's more durable. You could like throw it against the wall, and it would be fine. But it also gets kind of like a gnarlier tone, and it's really cool. Mine broke, so then I got a regular one. But I love the the sound of that. Like it can give you kind of like a wall of sound, like that fuzz, like.
They're almost uncontrollable too. If you push it, you know, a little, even just a little bit over the edge, it almost like it, you know, just starts screaming after a while. I mean, they sound that big.
Yeah, I like love that sound.
Man, so what are you using for amps then? Like, are you Marshall or a Fender? Or?
It's different because like I kind of record with whatever is like the coolest amp I can record with. Like I like experimenting. Like, and I didn't really have an amp for a while. Like we shared rehearsal space with like a bunch of everyone's playing music, and we'd all kind of like be trading stuff. I was playing through like a Fender DeVille for a while, and it was like a solid amp, but I didn't feel like it was like really part of my sound or anything. Now I have a Vox, which is cool. It's definitely nice. Different. Yeah, I love it. It's like my first amp that I'm like, oh, this is my amp. Like, I'm going to make it part of my sound. It's definitely that's kind of a new sound. And then for tracking, I've kind of used like everything, mostly Fender stuff, but like it's, I don't know, on like one song I used like a Bad Cat amp, that was cool. Just whatever is like available that's appropriate for the song, I'll try out.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta tell you, man, I mean, you know, the music on your new album, I mean, it is real, you know, I mean, it's not, it's like, it's what you call, you know, I don't know how to say it, it's like a road trip album. You know, I guess you'd say, where it's like, you're in the car and you're in the highway and all that shit, and, you know, you play track one, but then you don't like any of the things between track one and track eight, so you skip to track eight, and then you go to 10, and so on and so forth and stuff, but this, you can just, this you can just, like, throw in and just run all the way through.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
cool.
So, I mean, okay, let me ask you this. Okay, if you could only pick one song, out of all the songs on the Most Tarnished Birds, which would you pick? The rest you had to throw away. You can only pick one.
Oh, man. Oh, on that one, it probably Blur. Wait, which album? I'm sorry, I'm confused. Which album? The new one. We don't have a name for it yet. Well, that's the one that's out now.
That's the last one that's released.
Yeah.
That's my fault. I didn't want to confuse anybody because I want to talk about the music that's out, because I want to talk about your new stuff here in a second. So, like, yeah, your latest released album, The Most Harnessed Birds.
That would be probably my favorite song, and that is Blur.
Really?
It's like the last track on it.
So were you pissed that it's the last track? Were you guys like, "I'll fuck you guys in," you know? You know, because I
want.
No, so were you? I mean, were you pissed then that it was the last track? I mean, were you like, you know, like, screw you guys for making it the last track or something? Or
oh no, I
don't
know. Like, that was kind of our thing. We kind of tend to shoot ourselves in the foot a lot. Like we thought it would be just as a track order, we thought it would be really cool to have it the last track, but, you know, like, we probably should have made it the first one. It's kind of a better opening song. But we're always kind of like, no, we don't want to do that. Like, we're going to put it as last track. you know, which is kind of just, like, stupid. Like, on our new stuff, we tried to make the track listing more appropriate other than that, but yeah, that's my favorite one, I think. Well, so how do you guys pick the track listing?
Do you guys just like draw straws or like paper rock scissors or
It's kind of hard. I don't know, it's like our least favorite part. We're like, oh, we're done with everything, because we really focus on just like the music and like all the sounds and stuff, and then we're like done with their art recordings, and we're like, oh crap, like now we have to like, you know, now we have to pick an order, like now we have to pick an album name, like like now we have to like, get album artwork, like we're we're kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like, or it has been an afterthought, which has been kind of bad. So this time we tried to you know, really think about it as we were going along, but yeah, I don't know, we just kind of like throw it on a CD and try different orders, see what makes most sense, and eventually come up with something. It's difficult. It's more difficult than you know, if you would assume, just trying to make it get that right order to flow and be cohesive.
Well, and I've heard a lot of bands say that they never really finish an album. They just kind of abandon it because they got to move on at some point. You know,
yeah, for sure.
You know, because I mean, is that so? Is that how you guys feel about the music process? Like making the, like actually making the music? Like, you know, like you go back later and think, man, I just thought of a neat guitar line that would have gone good in that song or something, or, you know, something like that, or.
Yeah, sometimes it's more like once we're done with it, it's kind of like I almost never want to hear it again. Like, it's just kind of like, it's, or I mean, because the process is like from writing a song to when it finally recorded and done, like the process of like writing a song, like fleshing it all out, like playing it live and getting everything, you know, ready to be recorded, and then like finding, you know, getting studio time and like finding a way to record and getting all that stuff, like that takes a while. So then like by the time we're done tracking it and like doing all these tweaks on it and then getting it to sound like the way we want it, it's like we've already started working on a bunch of new stuff that we're more excited about. So so yeah, it's kind of like, in that way, it's kind of like you just gotta abandon it. Like, I don't want to say like abandon it, but it's like a different musical chapter. It has started.
You have to set it. You have to just set it free at some point.
Yeah,
so, well, I mean, and on top of that, during the process too, they always end up sounding different than when you how you originally thought they would be, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of our, like, we're almost like a little too meticulous, or we have been a little too meticulous on trying to get it to sound exactly how we envision. But on our new, so we've kind of tried to, like, let that go a little bit, because it's kind of, kind of cool to just like see how it turns out, you know? Cause sometimes it's better than what you would have, you know, just thought in your head. Or we've tried to let that like happen a little bit more naturally, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and, so, I mean, now that, you know, your eponymous debut from 2010 is out and the Most Tarnished Birds is out, you know, let's talk about like what you're recording now. I mean, how has the evolution progressed? Is it easier now that you guys have been together for a while, or is, do you still find it challenging, or is it harder to come up with music, or do you, or have you gotten a system down now that you're in the studio for the third time?
For like as a band, it's like much easier. Like we definitely kind of have like a system going. Like we know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and kind of like we all kind of like it's definitely easier to navigate. But we do what is harder is which I like a lot of bands struggle with is that, you know, once you have a certain sound or people have heard a certain sound from you and really enjoy your music and stuff. It's like you want to always be progressing as a musician or songwriter or whatever. So we're always trying to like, we want to try new stuff and, you know, play stuff that's new. Like it'll always come out sounding like us because we're playing it and we're in that group. But it's kind of tricky once people, I don't know, like your first album or something, it's like no one tells you anything like what to do on it, and then after you've recorded it or after people actually start listening to your music, they're like, oh, I like this and this, or like don't change this, or you know, it's a little nerve-wracking. You don't want to like let people down or like sound different, but you want to take risks and not sound the same and be boring. So that's like we've had to kind of learn how to tune all of that out, like what or people that are like try to tell you like, oh, you're like, if you guys tried this, like this would happen for you, or if you, I don't know, just kind of like try to like put ideas in your head of what you should sound like or what they want you to sound like. So it's interesting. It's like gotten easier and harder. It's like gotten internally easier, just like as a band, knowing how to do stuff and getting stuff done. But externally, like it's like weird. It's more like pressure, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and on top of that, with this being your third time out, I mean, you're close to releasing the third album, right? I mean, you're still recording it, yeah, and everything, but with this being the third time out, you've got two precedents, you know, to go by, you know, which are the two previous albums. Do you find that to be, you know, something that dictates how your sound is going to be, or do you think that's something that you're consciously trying to move away from?
We never want anything to dictate like how our sound will be. We want to always just be playing what we want to play and like coming up with new stuff and we never want to like limit ourselves by being like, oh, we have to do this or not be able to experiment with new stuff because of what our old albums sound like. So, but we also we're not like, okay, we're going to sound totally different. Like this time we're going to just like break away from that. Like we just try to let that, whatever happen as naturally as possible and try not to be worried if people are like freaked out or let down or confused if we have like a newer sound and stuff like that. We just kind of try to make the music that we want to make, or just kind of see what happens and not limit ourselves that way.
Exactly. So what do you guys have coming up at? When's the album coming out, and when are you going to tour behind it and everything else? What do you have on the horizon now?
So, we have a single that's coming out, and we have like a video for it, which is cool. The first time we did a video, and I'm really psyched about that because I think it came out really dope. Like, we recorded it or filmed it. It's actually Alex's like old friend from like elementary school who we like randomly ran into him here, and he does a lot of like film stuff. So we filmed it at our like favorite donut shop. So we're gonna, it's pretty fun. We're gonna release that on September 29th, so in about a month. And then, we wanted the rest of the album to come out like pretty close after that, but it's probably not going to be the little label that's going to press it for us probably can't do it till like January, because like everything's like backed up, and like indie labels like, just like doesn't have big money's always an issue and stuff. So we're gonna release a single on September 29th, and then we're gonna tour do a mini East Coast tour, like 2 weeks from October like 16th to 28th or something like that. And we'll have like posted dates on our websites and stuff. And then the rest of the album will hopefully